Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the faith in Jesus Christ and the love for all the saints that members of St. Peter's display. Thank you, Father, that this faith and this love spring from the hope that is stored up in heaven for us. And Father, we thank you for those who told us about the Lord Jesus and brought us to faith in him. Please, would you help us now, fill us with your strength and your power so that we might live lives that are worthy of you and pleasing to you. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, ever since you heard the truth of the gospel, since you became a Christian, you've wanted to live a holy, faithful life. You want to love all the saints with all your heart, and you want your life to be fruitful in God's sight. You set the bar high because you know that Jesus sets the bar high. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But you know you fail. And you alternate between beating yourself up about it and promising to try harder next time. Now, in one sense, that's good. It's good because it shows you have the desire to please God. On the other hand, it's bad. Bad because neither beating yourself up nor trying harder are the ways to make progress towards a more loving or fruitful life. Here, in this one short paragraph, Paul shows us how we can and will make progress in our faith so that we can live a life worthy of the Lord and so please him in every way. Now, we're going to begin with the facts of life. And then we'll think about the purpose of your life. And finally, the power for your life. First of all, then, the facts of life. Where do you live? Where do you live? That's a silly question, isn't it, you might say. But you know, each of us lives in one of two places. We either live in the dominion of darkness or the kingdom of light and of the sun. The dominion of darkness is the place where those who don't know God live. It's the place where people are ruled by their own desires, their own wants, their own preferences. It's each for their own. It's me, me, me. And it's horrible. The kingdom of light and of the sun is where people know the one and only true and loving God. It's the place where lives are renewed and repaired. It's the place where Jesus reigns. And his people long to please him. And it's glorious. And so, verse 12, the Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So either we live under the dominion of darkness or we live in the kingdom of the Son God loves. But that's not how we tend to think, is it? We're not aware of that when we're in the queue at Lidl or preparing supper or cutting the grass. It's not very, what's the word everyone uses these days, inclusive. In fact, isn't it rather divisive and exclusive? But Jesus himself, the most loving, compassionate, kind person who ever walked this planet, said, "Whoever is not for me is against me. I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. No one comes to the Father except through me." So each of us lives and dies in one of two places, the dominion of darkness or the kingdom of light and of the Son. But even if we're living under the dominion of darkness, we do not have to stay there. A transfer is possible. In football, if you want to qualify for a transfer from the dark dominion of Chelsea to the glorious kingdom of Spurs, you'll have to be a world-beating footballer. But then there'll also be a multi-million pound transfer fee. How can we qualify for a transfer to the kingdom of the Son? How can we pay the kind of transfer fee that would need? Well, verse 12 again, we give thanks that the Father has qualified us, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. No, we cannot qualify for the kingdom. We cannot pay the fee. But God has qualified us. Jesus has redeemed us, bought us. He has paid the price. Those are the facts of life. And so we joyfully give thanks to the Father for doing what we could never have done and qualifying us for the kingdom of his Son. But now that we're in the Son's kingdom, what's the purpose of our life? Well, verse 10, the purpose of our life is to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Now, as you hear that, I know that the feelings of failure will well up in many, many hearts. You don't see your life as worthy of the Lord. You don't think you please him or are fruitful or are growing in knowledge of him. In fact, you feel a guilty failure. You feel rubbish because of it. So what we need to do then is to look again at Christ and remember this. He is your transfer fee. The Father has qualified you for his kingdom. You live in the kingdom of the Son he loves. And your humility, that sense of unworthiness, is actually one of the fruits of his grace in you. You see, if we ever imagine that we are worthy because of our own work, or that we've pleased God because of a helpful contribution we've made to the spa group last week, then we really don't understand how to please God. Just as we don't transfer into the kingdom on our own merits, so we don't continue to fulfill the demands of the kingdom in our own strength. In fact, we accept that we are weak and helpless. And then we stop looking inside ourselves for the resources to change. Instead, in humility and weakness, we look to God for strength and power. That's the beginning of a life that's worthy of God and pleasing to him. In our weakness, his strength becomes apparent. Because it is God who gives us power for life. The power we need for the kingdom, for life in the kingdom of the Son, for a life worthy of God. So, verse 11, Paul prays that we might be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might, so that we might have great endurance and patience. We need, you need, the strength and power of God because darkness longs to overcome us again and take us back into its dominion. Darkness bombards us, telling us that we're mad to follow Jesus. And sometimes it's people out there who say we're stupid and deluded to follow Jesus. And we're drawn to do what pleases and impresses our friends. But often, isn't it the voice in our own head? Isn't it our own desires and longings that beckon us back into the darkness? And today, it is especially hard to live a sexually pure life when films and TV programs and the internet constantly present us with a dramatic and idealized but darkly misleading view of our sexuality. And the struggles, the various struggles we all face, are not one-offs. No, they're ongoing, constant, lifelong struggles. And so God promises us his strength and all power that stream into us from his glorious might. And what does that power do? Does it immediately make everything easy? No. But it does give us great endurance and patience. Because until Christ returns, we live surrounded by, tempted by the deceptions of the dominion of darkness, whether from without or within. And what exactly does that strength and power look like? How does it give us endurance and patience? We'll have a look at verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul's constant, urgent prayer for the Colossians is that they would know God's will for their lives, that they would know what's truly good, loving, pure, and lasting. Without knowledge of God's will, we're still in the dark, aren't we? The dominion of darkness, and we'll never live joyful, thankful lives there. But a life that pleases God knows and understands his will. And such knowledge comes to us through spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, that doesn't mean mystical experiences or some kind of transcendental meditation. No, thankfully, God is much clearer, objective, and straightforward than that. Spiritual wisdom and understanding come to us from God's word, the Bible. So, we are filled with the knowledge of God's will as we listen carefully and set our mind to understand Scripture. That's where God reveals his will to us, his good and perfect will, his will that leads us to give thanks to God our Father because we know him, understand him, and delight in him. That's how we will gain endurance and patience. It's by delighting in and understanding God's will for our lives. So the promise here is that in our personal Bible reading, as we listen to faithful Bible teachers, as we take part in carefully led Bible study, God will show us how to live lives worthy of him and so please him in every way. And he will exert his great strength and power in us to bring that about. Because it's not easy, is it, to change, to reform, to renew, to repair our lives. But that is what God is up to. And all of this begins with the humility of prayer and helplessness and weakness. Lord, I don't know your will. In fact, my natural tendency is always to walk away from you. So teach me, give me understanding, and shape my will in such a way that I want more than anything else to do your will. And please, Father, may I live a life that is worthy of you and pleases you in every way, to the glory of Jesus, my Saviour. Amen.